It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
Time for California Wine Country. Tom Simino back with us this week because Dan Berger and his wife are spending a few weeks in New Zealand.
It's wonderful that the weather's with us this week. After last week raining, coming in here was a nightmare.
Still cold, but we're back to winter. We didn't have winter for so long during the drought. It was just like,
well, January was one of the warmest Januaries, and now February is as cold as it's been in 70 years.
Barry Herbst is here, the wine buyer from Bottle Barn, and of course Tom Simino presenting today Trombetta Family Wines. Ricky Trombetta, the proprietor and CEO. Good to see you again.
Good to see you, too.
And your daughter, Erica Stancliffe, is not only your daughter, but the winemaker.
Yes, indeed.
We have Chardonnay today for you.
I'm without speech, yes. And I have tasted this Chardonnay, which we will get into in a moment. But first, as I always do, the history of not only the winery, but I want to start with Erica. My mother always said, when you're on the radio, don't ask women how old they are. But I must. You look so young.
Well, I actually turned 31 next week.
How did you get started? Obviously, you're part of the Trombetta family, but how did you become the winemaker?
So my parents, you know, I grew up in Forestville, and being down in the Russian River and in this amazing wine-growing region, my parents were home winemakers. My dad has a full-time job as an engineer, which he's keeping his full-time job as an engineer, and that's why I'm the winemaker. I love the man to death, but they were home winemakers. And in the 90s, my mom got a phone call from a friend because she did a lot of fundraising and event planning for the Pace Ball for Memorial Hospital and a lot of other events. And a friend called, said, there's a new winemaker in town. He wants to throw a party. He just bought a property. Turned out to be Paul Hobbs. So Paul all of a sudden turns into not only, you know, friend through business, but adopted family, because he had just moved into Sonoma County, and it was at the time when he was single, just starting Vina Cobos, starting his label, Paul Hobbs, and buying the property. So he became pretty much my unblood-related uncle. And it wasn't until high school when I was trying to figure out, what do I want to do with my life? And he said, look, you're going down to Fresno, go take a look at the winery, go take a look at the school. And as soon as I took a tour in the winery with the winemaker, John Giannini at the time, I knew that's where I belonged, and I never left.
Wow.
And running into Paul Hobbs.
Yeah, talk about Paul Hobbs.
I mean, unbelievable. Paul Hobbs has become, you know, one of the icons, like David Ramey.
Yeah,
and
rock star.
You know, yeah, rock star Chardonnay Pinot Noir producer in your area, Sebastopol.
Oh, yeah.
And now, I mean, he's, you know, it's like Kistler, Hobbs, Ramey. Yeah. I mean, you know, royalty.
Yeah, he's definitely the upper echelon, no doubt.
But we knew Paul before he became Paul Hobbs.
Yeah, when he was just Paul Hobbs.
He was just Paul Hobbs.
Some guy.
Exactly.
And he's still getting it done, right?
Oh, yes.
Bigger than ever.
Yeah, we actually make wine right next door to him on 116, so I joked with him and said, you're never getting rid of me now.
So how long have you been the winemaker for the family?
So I took over in 2014, and I really took my time because I believed I needed to earn my stripes in the industry. So I've traveled around. I've worked harvests in Argentina, in Napa. I worked for Nardis Vinquiry for a number of years while learning from Paul while he was our consulting winemaker on the project. And in 14, I left my job to then devote myself full-time to this and working on Trombetta and working on my craft. And it was absolutely amazing. And I have those moments during harvest where I'm like, why did I do this to myself? I wish I had a semi-normal life, but I wouldn't trade it for anything
else.
No,
ultimately, you're smiling and you're happy, and it's a good gig.
Exactly.
Ricky, talk about the history. Erica said that you guys were home winemakers, and then how did Trombetta come about?
Well, it's interesting because given a group of engineers, Carmine Indindoli lived down the road from us.
Great Irish name.
Isn't that a great Irish name? I love it. He was an engineer at Hewlett-Packard, as was my husband. And when Carmine planted his vineyard of Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, and Cabernet Sauvignon, we started pestering him about wanting to learn how to make wine. And so he was generous enough to invite a number of us over and guided us through so that we learned not to cut the cordon, but to actually harvest the grapes and not destroy the plant. And as we made wine from year to year, Roger and I, my husband and I, became more curious. So we started taking all the classes that were offered over at the Santa Rosa JC, and then also went up to UC Davis and took a number of classes purely for our own edification. And it really would have stayed just that if it had not been for Harry Walker, who is a grape grower in Forestville, giving me a call about this event that Paul wanted to put on. So that changed everything.
So when did Trombetta become a winery, and what was the first release?
We started as a winery in 2010, and our very first release was a Gap's Crown Pinot Noir. We started with the Gap's Crown because Paul was generous enough. He took us into the barrel room, and he had all the wines by clone, by vineyard. And so he said, why don't you taste through with me and see what clones you like and also what vineyards you like. And so we narrowed it down to the Gap's Crown vineyard and to three different clones. And so...
And Gap's Crown is very famous.
And you guys were early in on that.
Well, you were president, weren't you, of the one of the organizations there?
Petaluma Gap Wine Growers Alliance, yes. Mm.
And she's being modest. She was the president while they pushed through the AVA. So this is the one who is knocking on the doors of all the congressmen saying, hey, come help us out with Treasury so we can push this through and get this AVA where it needs to be.
Well, when you got Mike Thompson and Jared Huffman, it helps.
Absolutely.
You go to D.C.
Absolutely. They were absolutely remarkable in how well they, how much they helped us. And I do have to say that Mr. Mnuchin, the Secretary of the Treasury, was absolutely wonderful to work with as well.
Really?
So, yes, he expedited it.
You don't hear
us.
Things like that very much.
I know.
At least not
I know,
in this
but
studio.
I want to give credit where credit is due, because it's such a rarity in Washington where two sides will actually work together on something.
Well, Pinot Noir, man, there it is.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Brings people together.
Okay, it's Ricky Trombetta, proprietor and CEO of Trombetta Family Wines. Her daughter, Erica Stancliffe, is the winemaker. What a great story. And it is TrombettaWines.com. We'll talk more about what they do and et cetera in a moment. We're tasting this 2017 Chardonnay from the Indindoli.
No, this is the Four Brothers from Sonoma Mountain.
Oh, I'm sorry. I see the one and the two and the three.
It's okay.
Okay, a 2017 Chardonnay from Four Brothers. Explain Four Brothers, and we'll taste this and have the boys talk about. I said, before we got on the air, I just said, excuse me, everyone, I'm in love.
You're in love.
This Chardonnay is amazing. But explain.
Thank you. So Four Brothers is this amazing vineyard on top of Sonoma Mountain, off Sonoma Mountain Road, that is owned by the Sullivan family. They named the vineyard Four Brothers because they have four boys. Two, of course, are in the wine industry and winemakers, and the other two twins, the youngest, have nothing to do with wine but enjoy it, and they work in the tech world. So the family... I mentored under Patrick Sullivan when I did my first internship in Napa Valley, and he approached me and said, my parents have some extra Chardonnay. Are you guys interested? I brought on the Chardonnay program in 2014, and we expanded in 2015 with the Four Brothers and the Indindoli, which we will try next. But I just love the Chardonnay because it's so different, and you have such a sense of place with Sonoma Mountain. And Sonoma Mountain is just... it's so magical.
Well, you mentioned off-air as we were going into this segment about, and I'm paraphrasing, trying to remember, but this is a Chardonnay that you think is not really that typical of Chardonnay, and I agree. I mean, I can't explain why the guys will do that, but explain further what you meant by that.
So for me, when you think of Chardonnay, you have, of course, the different schools of thought between buttery, oaky, big, tropical fruit bomb in your face, or something a little more reserved with that kind of green apple, lemon peel. And this just, to me, reminds me so much of almost, dare I say it, kind of like an old world Viognier or something like that, where you have this beautiful aromatic profile that's just a little different. It has white peach skin, a little bit of stone fruit. And to me, that doesn't scream Chardonnay. So when we first made this wine, and if I remember so distinctly, the fruit came in, put it directly in the press, goes into the press pan, and as I'm smelling the fruit and the juice that's coming out of the press, it smelled like, you know, that Kern's guava and passion fruit juice that's really thick, unpasteurized?
Yeah.
It's exactly what it reminded me of. And I was just like, wow, this is going to be different, but absolutely amazing. And,
2017, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing right, sometimes.
Guys, talk about
well, it's
what
amazing
I'm
sometimes
here.
When you start with the grapes, like you're saying, coming right out of the press, like so there are certain varieties that every now and again you go like, man, that is so fruit. That fruit is not just Chardonnay fruit that's not turned into wine yet. Or I grew Tempranillo for a while, and Tempranillo, you put the grape in your mouth, and it tasted like Tempranillo, and you go like, right, man, that's going to make a hell of a wine.
Geek alert, Tempranillo.
Tempranillo is a Spanish variety.
Grape in Rioja.
Yeah. Okay. So,
and other parts of Spain, the most famous.
Yeah, the most famous Tempranillo.
But most of its personality was probably already there when it
came
in.
When you start like that.
You just kind of keep it in its lane, and it develops.
Exactly. They always say it starts in a vineyard. Well, this one, and we were talking off air about when you first came in, about where that little plot was.
Yes.
And how kind of it's on its own little knoll in Sonoma Mountain. And each little vineyard has its own, dare I say, terroir, taste mm-hmm. of the place, even
yes.
though you can't taste dirt. you know, it's orientation to the sun and the different clones and all. And this comes in, like you think it's going to be this big bomb, and then you put it in your mouth and it's balanced.
Yeah,
it's got really, really
impression.
Good acidity.
Yeah.
And Jackson is, I think, needs a little bit more.
Oh,
more.
Of course.
I have
still
got
checking
to,
it out.
I will never say no.
I have to sip this again because I can't figure out exactly why I love it so much.
There's peach there, but this is it. Banana. I'm getting a little banana.
It's almost a little bit of banana peel.
Yeah.
And
the finish is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's clean.
Staying with me.
Yeah, and long. What's the barrel regime here?
So I make all of my Chardonnays pretty much the exact same way. They're all barrel fermented. Only about 20 to 25% new French oak. It's all French oak. Surly, 8 months. Batonnage once every 7 days. So that being said, it stays on the lees. The lees are always really nice, really clean. But the acid, I mean, the acid is what drives this specific wine and this
pulls
site.
The whole package together.
It holds it together, and it's what's creating such a nice, elegant finish and that palate that just it's almost like a runway down your mouth versus filling you completely on the sides and hitting the fat middle. It's just really nice and long, really clean, and
okay.
really pretty.
Okay, that I can relate to.
Yes.
That made sense, even to an idiot like me, who is not a wine guy like these two. But
well, you're getting a pretty good palate there, Jackson.
Well, it's been 10 years. Yeah. I mean, you guys are teaching me, but oh, God,
it beckons
that's
you back, though. You don't. It's not so cloying that you're like, I'm good. I don't need another half glass of that, but it's so clean and balanced, like you're saying. Yeah. It's like to do another glass is no problem.
And it has
it
a little European character to it, doesn't it?
Well,
yeah.
that's one of the things that Trombetta tries to do. Not that we manufacture or overprocess anything, but we like our wines to go with food.
Mm-hmm.
And this wine with food.
That was my next question.
Yeah.
Sings.
Yeah, it would come alive.
Throw some food out at me. I mean, literally, food fight!
Yeah. Well, yeah. This one over here, don't let her be modest. She is quite the chef in the kitchen.
Right. Yeah, we've
so,
heard
what's your
that.
Favorite pairing on this one?
I think it's my seared sea scallops, and then I make a Meyer lemon butter sauce that almost like a lemon curd without the sugar.
I think we're free all this week.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Let us know when the kitchen's
open.
Yeah,
I will.
This will work, and as Dan would say, if you were here, you want to lay this baby down for a couple of years.
We'll get
and
more
it'll
and more
start
interesting.
To, oh, man, it's going to start singing as soon as you get those
even
secondary flavors in the bottle.
Yeah.
Wow, this is tremendous.
Well,
this would be great with
and it's 14.1 alcohol.
So it's right there.
And it was released, it says harvest date, September 7th of last year, 2017.
Yeah.
And when Has it been released?
Yes, it just was released, actually, what?
This week. Last couple of weeks. We're just releasing it right now.
We got to talk to Barry Herbst and such about where folks can get Trombetta wine at Bottle Barn and everything else. It's California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn and Della Tofola. We've got a few more shards to taste and some Pinots. So you guys are doing pretty much Pinots and shards? Is that how it's been from the beginning?
Well, when we started, we only did the Gap's Crown Pinot for the first two vintages. And then we brought on a secondary Pinot, which you will try today, the Sonoma Coast. And then in 14, we brought on our first Chardonnay. And 15, we brought on the last two. So we've had all five of these wines are what we make, with around 1,000 cases total production for everything.
Wow.
No rosé yet?
It's in barrel, and we're bottling it in May.
You got to do rosé these days.
My parents were actually pulling from my dad's home vineyard of 220 vines. I have a whopping 2 barrels to bottles, so we're very excited to have a Trombetta rosé that's actually from our estate.
Cool.
That's great.
There we go. The nice thing is about family wineries and all, you hear these stories. Like Carmine, if you're a home winemaker, I knew Carmine when I was making home wine.
In Dindola.
Yes. And, you know, it's like, you know, you just, there are certain people that run around in our little underground wine world of small family wineries. He's one of those people. And it's great to see the success. You started out with one wine.
Yes.
And then you had another. And now you're at 5. I mean, it's great. As the big keep getting bigger, right, mm-hmm. buying up wineries, there's room for little guys people, especially like you, Barry, buying,
it's great,
you know, and having
us.
Those presented to the public at the Bottle Barn.
Yeah, and we can tell the story and open the store and online now, which is great, kind of get the word out on smaller guys.
And we need to talk more about that in the next
And people talk about the homogenization of the wine world and everything tastes the same. Mm-hmm. Not so when you're talking about small producers. Yeah. And you must have a wine club, right?
We do.
If people wanted to get in on the bottom floor before you become the next Paul Hobbs,
right.
You can't get it, people can get on your list now.
It's called La Familia, the family.
See,
come join the family.
Buongiorno. I'm Italian, too. So, TrombettaWines.com, California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn and Della Tofola. You can check out our podcasts. They are on every episode is up on, every place where fine podcasts are offered. And you can also go to calwinecountry.com and hear every episode over the number of years. And make sure you subscribe. Thank you.
You know what we do? We really should tape the during the commercials and the news.
Oh, that's the funniest stuff.
What goes on here off air is, I mean, people would pay for that.
Believe me, for 10 years I've been saying that. It is California Wine Country, Ricky Trombetta from Trombetta Wines. She is the proprietor and CEO, and her daughter, Erica Stancliffe, is also the winemaker. Welcome again, folks. It's great.
Thank you.
We're tasting 3 Chardonnays. They do Shards and Pinots, and we'll get into some Pinots later, but this is another 2017 Chardonnay from the Indindole
Vineyard.
Vineyard, thank you.
We had the Four Brothers 17, which was really, really good. Now we got the Indindole, which is, I think this is even better than the first one. For my style, that's the nice thing. You know, a lot of times people bottle different vineyards, but they all taste kind of the same because it's the same winemaker. But you're really letting the vineyards kind of shine with the first one and now this in Dindoli. This is really terrific.
Thank you. I mean, that's my exact philosophy with winemaking is I want the vineyard to speak. I want the fruit to do what it wants to do. And I want you to have a real sense of place when you pour a glass. And I want you to understand, like, in Dindoli is Russian River. It's absolutely amazing. Carmine's site is beautiful. It's off of Vine Hill School Road, kind of near Martin Ray Winery.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Russian River Chardonnay without being the overbearing Russian River Chardonnay and without being too soft-spoken. It's just that nice, happy middle.
Well, you've done a nice job with the oak treatment, too. It's very nicely balanced.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about the oak treatment. Yeah. Talk about that.
Is it the same thing,
basically? It's the exact same thing. The only difference between the three vineyards that I do is I'll use a different cooper for the new oak. So on the Four Brothers, I use something a little softer that adds more texture, just because I don't want to overshadow that beautiful aromatic. With the Indindoli, I mean, hands down, my favorite barrel to use for white wine ferments is just the Demi. It is the easiest with really beautiful texture, nice creamy mid palate, respects the fruit, and I love all the barrels I use, but that right there is the go-to. I have Chardonnay, I need a new barrel, what do I use? Oh, yeah, hey,
it doesn't
Demi
get in the way. I use Demi too.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Do you wild ferment?
Mike.
Mike,
talk wine for me, will you? Tom, briefly, I don't want to necessarily interrupt, but talk about Carmine Indindoli again.
So Carmine is the way I met him. When we were making homemade wine, it was through Keith Meats, mm-hmm. and Carmine would be there. When Keith started, he was a home winemaker, and he was making his wine. And Carmine, I think, was making some of his wine with Keith. And then Peter Merriam, my buddy, bought Keith Meats' vineyard, so every time we'd come over and pick, and I did a lot of blending with Peter when he first started with his Merlots, and Carmine would be there, and we'd always talk homemade wine. And so that's just how I knew Carmine. I never knew his last name. He was always Carmine.
Until tonight.
Yeah, until today. He's shorter than me, too. It's kind of nice. I kind of look him right in the eye.
He's not a Patriots fan, is he?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay, good.
But that would be the
I don't want to go back to that again.
Yeah,
all right.
But this Red Chardonnay Sox is really, really
talk
something
about this shark.
I think there's a little extra component of citrus in here I don't get out of the first wine that really is exciting. A little more lift, a little bit more high-toned, which not typical of Russian River, actually.
You know what I think? I think it's more approachable in its youth, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe the acidity isn't quite as high as it is in the first wine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's got my mouth watering. You know, this to me, this would be, you could almost, you're going to knock down a second glass of this easy.
Yeah.
You know, like, feel that peach.
Yeah, I know.
The citrus that's there.
Yeah, you get a nice lift from that citrus flavor that I really like.
Man. All right, we forgot to talk about pricing, too. You're around $50 for these?
$45 for the Indindoli, so the Russian River, and then the Four Brothers is $50.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right. Now, that brings us to Bottle Barn and Barry Herbst. What Trombetta wines are available at Bottle Barn?
Well, after today, hopefully there'll be some Chardonnay. The lobbying started early.
I heard Ricky say that they sell out quickly, but Barry does major business dealings in the hallway after this show.
I'm not even waiting for that anymore. I'm doing it right on the air.
I think he parked his car right behind theirs.
We do really well with the Pinots and have for a while. So that's kind of been the staple with Bottle Barn. But really, these Chardonnays are so nice. We're hoping to work with them. So
yeah, there you go.
And they're all in the 14, basically, alcohol.
Yeah, which is about right these days.
Yeah, for a good shard.
You're picking between 23.5 and 24.5 bricks, and that ferments down dry to about 14%.
Exactly.
Some years it might be 13.9. I mean, depending. You know, when you're trying to pick a whole vineyard or whatever your vineyard block, you know, you do your sugar tests, and sometimes it's a little high and sometimes a little low. But right around 14 is where you want to be. And this is perfectly balanced.
No, thank you. I mean, I always, when I'm looking at harvest, we walk the rows, we taste the fruit, make sure the flavor's there, make sure it's phenolically right. But at the same time, we want the balance of sugar and acid, because that's how you finish with a balanced product.
Yep. And it's not just in the old days. You know, you used to get paid if you had sugar. That's how they pay you. If you could get your reds to 25, you get a bonus.
Right.
Really?
You know, yeah. And nowadays, it's taste. I mean, you can get a very tasty wine that's 13% alcohol.
Yeah. And it's, some guys pay according to the numbers. If you hit the right numbers,
right.
You know, it doesn't have to be over.
Or they'll fine you if you go over.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, especially here in Sonoma.
And these are minuscule quantities. Like, the highest I see on here is 123 cases. I guess that was last year, but nothing over 150 cases out of the white.
Is that where you are, pretty much?
Yeah. Yes.
And did you say 43 cases of one of the other ones?
The Four Brothers. Yeah. We made 43 cases this last year.
Boy.
Probably good luck, Barry.
Yeah, probably not going to see that one in Bottle Barn. I'll be over at the house eating scallops to join that
That's right.
I'll join you.
We're inviting ourselves.
All right. Well, that is unbelievable. 2017 Chardonnay from Indindoli.
Carmine, you did a hell of a job.
There you go.
And we got to get Carmine.
He's amazing.
Yeah. He knows everyone in the wine industry, and he has the most amazing stories.
We got to get him in. This last shard is also a 2017 Caps Crown.
Gaps Crown. No more Chardonnay for Jackson.
Yes, never mind. It's Gaps Crown. Explain this, please.
So Gaps Crown is located in the Petaluma Gap, so brand new AVA, aptly named, and it's called the Gaps Crown because it sits on Sonoma Mountain on the southwest facing slope, excuse me if I can talk, and it starts at about 450 feet elevation and goes all the way up to about 1,000 foot elevation. So it has this really nice kind of rolling elevated slope to the vineyard. It's well known for its Pinot Noir, but it also produces a little bit of Chardonnay that not too many people realize is even there, which we're very lucky to have some. And Rob, if you're listening, I want it forever.
Yeah. Keep it quiet.
So good.
This one's true. This is a little bigger wine.
It is.
More full.
Yeah. Well, and the amazing thing about the Petaluma Gap is that with that wind that comes through that constant wind tunnel between, 9-10 miles an hour every day consistently, the skins are so much thicker on the grapes that you get so much more phenolics and so much more tannin. We've actually had, tannin studies done on that vineyard, and we have higher tannin numbers than some cabs do in Napa just because of the thickness of the skins. And when we get to the Pinot, you'll definitely see that.
Well, here's another thought. We were talking about decanters a couple of weeks ago. Mm. People forget that you can decant white wine.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it makes a big difference.
Yeah.
This would be a great
candidate. Dan Berger says that all the time.
This would be a great candidate for
decanting. A lot of collectors that are really fanatical about it, they collect white Burgundies and California Chardonnays, and even Rieslings they'll do it with sometimes, just because it brings out qualities just like in red wine.
Yeah, air adds a little bit of air, and you want to taste it first and then decide whether you're going to decant it or not.
Ricky? Mm-hmm.
I have a really cute story to tell, though, about Erica and this wine. So,
she's looking at you like,
turning red.
Turn the mic off.
As we see. Can anybody see that? Put the microphone closer.
Yeah, right.
In 2014, Erica was asking us if we could bring on Chardonnay. And so I called Paul and I said, look, we're looking for some Chardonnay, but it can't be pedestrian. It has to be something with a wow factor, something really great. He understands how much I love to cook. And so he knew that we wanted something that had good acidity, and we could make a lovely wine, something very well balanced. And so he said, well, actually, my contract on Gaps Crown Chardonnay, I'm bringing in too much Chardonnay. So I have 3 tons that I could give you from that. Would you be interested? And I said, great, I'll be really happy. So Eric and I drove up to the site. We took a look at it. We were thrilled. The night we were up, all of our picks are done at like 1 in the morning. And so the two of us are up there for the pick. And we come down off the mountain, and the Chardonnay had been picked as well. And Paul called her and said, be at the winery at 7:30 in the morning. So she was there. The fruit gets loaded in the press. He turns on the press, turns around, looks at her, and says, okay, go make the wine, and walks off.
Wow.
Bada bing.
Trial by fire.
Pressure.
No pressure.
Can
you swim?
Well, and the amazing thing was then a few months later, we're sitting in our session with Paul tasting through all the wines because, still looking to him for guidance on everything. He actually swallowed the Chardonnay in the barrel tasting, which was amazing because Paul never swallows barrel samples just because for someone who has to taste through so many in a day, it makes sense.
So he spits? Can relate to
yeah. Oh. Yeah. Well, everything. I mean, you have to. When you're when you're tasting through 100 plus wines.
You're looking at two wine judges here all the time who know about that.
Exactly. Yeah. It's hard. And so when he actually swallowed and poured more and smelled and tasted again, I was like, okay, I think I did something, and I think it was a good thing. So, all right, we're going to just keep moving forward with this.
Yeah, nice.
Doesn't get any more
pass the test.
That.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Barry, did you talk about the Gaps Crown?
Just that it's part of the new Petaluma AVA. That's the most important part, the most famous, I think, It's drawn a lot of attention to the area, owned by Bill Price, who's a well-known figure in the wine industry in the area, was part of Kistler and Costa Brown at one time, has three
states. He's the guy who Pacific Partners owned Barringer and all when they sold Barringer for $2 billion.
Yeah.
Billions. We had him. Remember we had him on the show with
Super Denver.
Unbelievable guy. Mm-hmm. He and his wife. Yeah. They own Three Sticks now, so you can get over there.
Three Sticks. We love Three Sticks.
Yeah, we do. We do.
They're great.
This is great. We should move to the Pinots.
Yes.
This vineyard sits above Sonoma State.
Yes, it does. So it's off Roberts Road. If you're on Petaluma Hill, you turn left on Roberts Road, and right where Roberts and Leek House split is actually where the vineyard sits.
Uh-huh. We're switching to Pinot after three gorgeous Chardonnays. From Trombetta Family Wines, TrombettaWines.com.
And which one are we pouring first?
The Sonoma Coast.
Sonoma Coast. And this is the one you have, Barry, right?
The 13, right? I think we bought the last of that.
Correct.
Yeah, which is drinking great right
now. Wow, you're selling the 13?
Yeah. We bought the
at Bottle Barn, folks.
Yeah, we took a large position.
Wow. I'll tell you. We love to be able to get your hands on that. How long have you been sold out of that?
Oh, golly. It's been a while.
So that's fantastic.
All right.
Smell that.
Okay. This is... Wait a minute. Where's one? I can't find my...
I have to say, Trombetta Family Wines loves Bottle Barn. And we love Barry and his staff. They're knowledgeable, and they've been great for us.
Sonoma Coast, Jackson.
We appreciate your business.
Thank
2016 Pinot from Sonoma Coast. Talk about that, Erica.
So this is actually, while we call it our Sonoma Coast, it's actually a single vineyard. We just call it our Sonoma Coast because it's a $45 Pinot, so we want it to be kind of an entry level into our wines. And we, as you guys have heard, have amazing relationships with our growers. And this is another grower that my parents started by making home wine from their vineyard, from their Pinot. The Petersons' daughter met my dad up at Hewlett-Packard and said, hey, my parents just planted some Pinot on their dairy and they want to try some. They want to make some and see what happens from this. Well, then that turned into, in 2012, we were able to get a contract for the Pinot and we've kept it ever since. William and Diane are amazing people. And they just have this amazing site. It's southern Sebastopol, kind of where 116 has that passing lane. So you have that hump of the hill. And it's near the Hessel Church and Blank Road. And it has this amazing sandy soil, really windy, really nice moisture, lots of fog in the morning. It's probably one of my favorite vineyards to walk in the morning because of the patches of fog and the old dairy hills with the old trees everywhere. But it just has such a presence in the glass. It's so amazing and so aromatic and so rich, but then you get down into the mouthfeel and it has that acid and it
and
pulls
spice. Spiciness in the finish.
Silky and persistent too, really.
Boy, this has got some grip. This is the baby to lay down.
Yeah.
And you've got the 13 version of this?
Yeah.
So you've got like history in the bottle there.
We even did a little video on it. I wasn't there that week, but Jordan and Matt may have done it, I think, or Jason, and they were tasting it and talking about
it was a great video, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Check it out at BottleBarn.com.
You know, you get a couple more years on that, like that 13. You can buy it now. What's the price on that there?
30s.
Shoo. So beat feet over to Bottle Barn. Trombetta,
so
13.
So that's inexpensive.
You bet it is for a wine like this.
No, it's this wine's in a neighborhood of wines that are 60, 70, 80.
Well, thank you.
Terrific bottle.
Definitely.
So should we move on here before we run out?
Let's go do the 14 gaps now. So
okay.
But I'm fine now. Ricky Trombetta, proprietor and CEO of Trombetta Family Wines, TrombettaWines.com, and her daughter and winemaker, who is just blowing it up, doing an amazing job, Erica Stancliffe. You guys, I mean, this is amazing wine, right, boys?
You know, the nice thing is, again, small, family-owned, 1,000 cases, that's it. You can get your hands on it. We live here, so that's why you can get wine like this. You know,
exactly.
Getting to meet you guys today was really a thrill. It's wonderful to taste your work and hear your enthusiasm. I mean, I'm walking that vineyard. You were talking about walking that vineyard in Sebastopol. I'm walking it with you. you know, you've got some great passion. Keep it up. You know, because we were all there, right, Jackson, when we were that young?
Hell yeah. California Wine Country brought to you in part by, of course, Bottle Barn. Barry Herbst is here, the wine buyer. And Della Toffola. For over 60 years, Della Toffola has been making equipment for the wine, beer, and beverage industries in general. Della Toffola's award-winning technologies mean they make it easy, especially for the wine industry, to get their grapes from vineyard to bottle. And Erica, you're familiar with Della Toffola?
Of course. They're great people. They have great equipment. Their techs always are super helpful anytime something happens. Middle of harvest. Hey, I need some help. They're yeah, right there when you need
right
them.
They're right there. All right. If you're in the industry, go to online at DellaToffola.us. Tom?
Here's our last Pinot, the Gaps Crown from Trombetta. And this is the 2014. This one's a little more approachable as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, another year or two would be great in the bottle. But nice cherry, very well made. You're letting the fruit show.
Mm-hmm.
As a grower, that's what I love. I want to be able to smell fruit first. What are you thinking on this?
Just smelling it, I can tell it's a step up. Just the concentration alone in the nose, you smell like there's a lot more there. And I'm pretty saddened by the wine enthusiast score. These guys way underscored this wine. I'm going to boycott them after seeing this.
Don't say that.
I'm not even going to mention the score because it's too low. It should be 95 or 96,
yeah,
maybe 97.
Well, they were having a bad day.
Yeah, maybe they got it on an off.
We love those guys, but
I just got the one-minute signal from Mike. So, Tom, I'll let you wrap it up.
Tell everybody how they can get on your wine club.
Visit our website, www.trombetta.com. And there is a place where you can click on the wine club.
And so you have your allocation list?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
But
we
if you
do.
Join the wine club, you get to come for a tasting. And my mom cooks a mean lunch.
There we go.
And we also put on wine camp for our wine club, which is really fun because people gather in our home vineyard and they get an experience of learning how to cut the grapes and process the grapes. And then we always break for a big barbecue afterwards.
From betterwines.com.
Yeah. Fun. I will be there soon.
Good.
I hope so.
Ricky Trombetta and her daughter, Erica Stancliffe, who is the winemaker. Erica, you've done some amazing things.
Yeah, nice
well,
job.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Keep Love you, buddy.
Sweet. All righty. You
thanks.
Too.
And Barry Herbst from Bottle Barn. Ladies, thanks so much for coming
thank
in.
You.
Thank
we'll,
you.
It was a pleasure.
That's it for us.